In this session, we are going to look at the implications of companies existing within the same capital gains group. Firstly, let us take a look at the definition of a group. Companies are in the same gains group when one company owns at least 75% of the ordinary shares of another company, or two companies are 75% owned by the same parent. This 75% definition is similar to the rules for group relief, but for group gains, we only need 75% of the ordinary shares, not 75% of distributable profits, or 75% of assets on a winding up. The group gains regime also has slightly different rules for sub-subsidiaries. For group gains, the direct relationship must be at least 75%, but the indirect relationship need only be above 50%. In addition, for group gains, a company can only be a member of one group. Let us illustrate these rules by way of a diagram. Here we have five companies. A Limited owns 75% of B Limited, which in turn owns 75% of C Limited, which in turn owns 75% of D Limited, which in turn owns 75% of E Limited. We are going to compare the rules for group gains and group relief. Firstly, taking the group relief rules. For group relief, we need a 75% direct and indirect relationship. Therefore, for group relief, we can transfer losses between A and B, between B and C, between C and D, and between D and E. The indirect relationship between A and C is 56.25%. For group relief, we need at least 75%. No losses can flow between A and C, or further down the group. Let us now take a look at the group gains rules. Firstly, let us look at the A Limited group, as A Limited is the ultimate holding company. A Limited owns 56.25% of C Limited, and consequently, C Limited can be included in A Limited's gains group. However, A Limited only owns 42% of D Limited, 75% of 56.25%. Therefore, as this is below 50%, D Limited is not part of A's group. Consequently, the A Limited capital gains group comprises companies A, B, and C. The question is, can we link C and D for the group gains purposes? The answer to this question is no. The reason for this is that a company cannot be a member of more than one group for group gains purposes. As C Limited is a member of A's gains group, it cannot form a subgroup with D Limited. This rule does not apply to group relief, so for group relief we can link C and D, but for group gains we cannot. However, D Limited can form its own group, and consequently we can link D and E together for group gains purposes, as D becomes a new holding company. So for group gains we have two groups, the A group comprising A, B and C, and the D group comprising D and E. So how will a transfer of assets between C and D be treated for group gains purposes? C and D are clearly connected companies, and consequently any transfers between these companies will be at market value. Transfers of assets within the same group will all take place at no gain, no loss, and we will look at these rules shortly. Take a look at the following diagram. A Limited owns 90% of B Limited, which in turn owns 90% of C Limited, which in turn owns 90% of D Limited, which in turn owns 90% of E Limited. What I would like you to do is click on the companies that are in A Limited's group relief group. Once you have finished, select Continue for an explanation. Clearly, for group relief we can transfer losses between A and B, and between B and C. A Limited indirectly owns 81% of C Limited, i.e. 90% of 90%. Consequently, losses can be transferred between A and C. A Limited indirectly owns 72.9% of D Limited, i.e. 90% of 81%. This is below 75%, and consequently losses cannot flow between A and D. Therefore, the group relief group relevant to A Limited includes companies A, B and C. Now, what I would like you to do is click on the companies that are in A Limited's group gains group. Once you have finished, select continue for an explanation. A Limited indirectly owns 81% of C Limited and 72.9% of D Limited and 65.61% of E Limited. That being 90% of 72.9%. So, going all the way down the chain, we find that A Limited's indirect relationship with E Limited is above 50%, so consequently, all of the companies are in A Limited's group gains group. That is, A, B, C, D, and E. Let us take a look at the rules relating to intra-group transfers of assets. Transfers between members of the same group are treated as no gain, no loss transfers. This rule applies automatically and is also compulsory. In other words, the same rules apply between companies in the same group as apply between a married couple. Let us illustrate this. Here we have Beckham Limited, which owns 100% of Posh Limited. In September 1992, Beckham Limited purchased a property at a cost of £500,000.
In January 2011, Beckham Limited decides to transfer this property to Posh Limited. This transfer will take place at no gain, no loss.
So what will the proceeds be? This is what we must ascertain. We have a cost of £500,000, indexation of, say, £250,000, and we know that this must lead to a gain of zero. Therefore, our proceeds will be £750,000. In other words, proceeds equal cost plus indexation to the date of transfer. Consequently, Posh Limited will have a base cost of this particular property at £750,000, which it will index in a future disposal calculation from January
2011,
the date of the intra-group transfer. Let us now take a look at the rules for reallocation of gains and losses. An election under Section 171A TCGA 1992 allows a gain or a loss arising in one group company to be transferred to another group company. This is to allow the group to utilize capital losses, and also to ensure gains are taxed at the lower marginal rate where possible. Let us illustrate this.
Bush Limited owns 100% of Blair Limited. Each company has income in the year ended 31st of March 2011 of £500,000 and £75,000 respectively. Blair Limited has capital losses brought forward of £90,000. On the 1st of October 2010, Bush Limited sold a property and realised a chargeable gain of £150,000. What we must do is ascertain in which company it will be better for the gain to arise.
We have Bush Limited owning 100% of Blair Limited and a property being sold which realises a gain of £150,000. As there are two companies in the group, the corporation tax lower and upper limits must be divided by two, giving us £150,000 and £750,000 respectively. The marginal rates of tax are 21%, 29.75% and 28%. Bush has other profits of £500,000, and if we were to add the gain to Bush's income, it would be taxed in full at the marginal 29.75% rate of tax, giving us a corporation tax liability of £44,625. However, if we were to make an election under Section 171A TCGA 1992 to transfer the gain on the property from Bush Limited to Blair Limited, by electing on the CT600, we might find we get a better result. Looking at Blair Limited's profile, Blair Limited has other income of £75,000. Adding the gain of £60,000, because of course we would utilise Blair Limited's capital losses brought forward of £90,000, all of the taxable gain will simply be taxed at 21%, giving us a liability of £12,600. So, effecting the transfer will save the group corporation tax of £32,025. So clearly, this would be worthwhile. Take a look at the multiple choice question on the screen. Calf Limited is a wholly owned subsidiary of Bull Limited.
During the year ended 31st of March 2011, the predicted profits for each company are £100,000 and £700,000 respectively. Calf Limited has capital losses brought forward of £30,000, and in February 2011, Bull Limited sold the property, realising a capital gain of £100,000.
Assuming that all beneficial elections are made, I would like you to calculate the minimum corporation tax payable on this gain. Select your answer A, B, C or D, and select Continue when you are ready. Let us take a look at the solution. Bull Limited owns 100% of Calf Limited. Bull Limited has sold the property, realising a gain of £100,000, and if it were taxed in Bull Limited, it would show the following tax liability. Bull Limited has other income of £700,000, so adding the gain will mean that £50,000 gets taxed at the 29.75% rate, and the other £50,000 gets taxed at 28%. So, therefore, the corporation tax payable on the gain, if it were left within Bull Limited, would be £28,875. However, if we were to make an election under Section 171A TCGA 1992 to transfer the gain on, the position will be improved. Calf Limited's other income is only £100,000. In addition, we can utilise capital losses of £30,000, and therefore only tax gains of £70,000. The first £50,000 will be taxed at 21%, and the balance of £20,000 will be taxed at the marginal 29.75% rate. Therefore, the tax on the gain will be £16,450. In the multiple choice question, that was answer B. The election under Section 171A TCGA 1992 only applies to gains or losses accruing on or after the 21st of July 2009. For disposals prior to this date, an election under Section 171A resulted in a notional transfer within the group of an asset or part of it prior to it being sold. In most circumstances, this had the same effect as the election to transfer the gain or loss which we have just discussed. However, it meant that relief was only available in respect of actual disposals to third parties. For example, it was not possible to obtain relief for a loss arising on a negligible value claim. Finance Act 2009 amended the legislation to make it easier for groups to match gains and losses. Finally, let us take a look at the group-wide rollover relief rules. A capital gains group is treated as one unit for rollover relief purposes. A Limited and B Limited are part of the same capital gains group. Let us say that A Limited has sold an asset for £900,000, which has realised a capital gain of £350,000. Remembering the normal rules of rollover, provided that within 1 year prior to the sale and 3 years after, A Limited reinvests all of the £900,000 proceeds, the capital gain can be rolled over and deducted from the base cost of a replacement asset. In this example, let us say that B Limited invested £1 million into a new asset. This will enable the gain in A Limited to be rolled over against the base cost of the asset purchased by B Limited under the group-wide rollover provisions. This gives us a base cost in B Limited of the replacement asset of £650,000. There is no requirement for the companies to be members of the group at the same time. Moving on to transfers of trading stock within a group. Special rules apply where an asset held as capital in one group company is transferred to another member of their capital gains group. who then intends to hold the asset as stock, and vice versa. The rules are best explained by way of an example. CAP Limited, a trading company, occupies a property for the purposes of its trade. A decision is then made to transfer the property to HAT Limited, a property dealing company. The companies are in the same capital gains group. CAP had bought the property some years ago for £550,000, and the indexation to the date of the transfer is £123,750. The property is then transferred to HAT Limited under Section 171 TCGA 1992. The index cost of the asset in HAT Limited is now £673,750. The asset is, however, still classified as a fixed asset in HAT Limited and must therefore be transferred to trading stock. The asset must therefore be taken to stock at its market value of, say, £740,000. This creates a capital gain in HAT Limited of £66,250. HAT Limited normally has trade profits or losses from property sales and can therefore make use of the election in Section 161 TCGA 1992, which allows a trader who is appropriating a capital asset to stock to elect for the asset to be taken to stock at its index cost. The election has to be made within 2 years of the end of the accounting period in which the asset is taken to stock. If HAT Limited makes this election, then at the time of the transfer from CAP Limited, the building will be taken to stock at a value of £673,750. When the property is eventually sold by HAT Limited, the trading profit will be higher, as the cost of the stock is deemed to be lower. This election will be especially useful where the property dealing company has trading losses brought forward, or the transferred asset is standing at a capital loss. If an asset is transferred by a company that holds it as trading stock to a company that will hold the asset as a capital asset, then the company who holds the asset as trading stock is treated as making a disposal from trading stock prior to the transfer. Again, this is best illustrated by way of an example. Paper Limited and Tray Limited are two companies in a games group. Paper Limited is a property dealing company. Tray is a trading company. Paper has a property which it bought for £370,000. The market value of the property was £400,000. It is to be transferred to Tray Limited. Paper Limited will be treated as taking the property out of trading stock at its market value, and so will make a trading profit of £400,000 minus £370,000, which equals £30,000. Tray Limited will receive the property at its market value of £400,000. Indexation allowance will begin to run from the date the property is transferred.